I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Our rock star today is Chris Denson. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
The chief curator and host of Innovation Crush. What's that?
Innovation Crush is an interview series, much like this one. But we kind of focus on a lot of left-field thinkers, people you may have heard of.
How left-field?
It gets as left-field as NASA's artist-in-residence, which those two things kind of don't go together, or a guy who brought chess boxing from UK to the United States.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, you know, or like hardcore business. We've had Damon John as a guest most recently. And
we just had him here. He's a good guest.
He's a good guy, yeah.
I love him. Now listen, what was your first job?
Well, aside from the paper route.
No, that's your first job. Paper route? Detroit Free Press, what was it?
It was the Southfield Eccentric.
Wow, that's better.
So,
get like, a paper, the Southfield Eccentric.
Exactly, extra, extra. So right outside of Detroit is Southfield. If you've ever seen the movie 8 Mile.
Sure.
That's the border. I lived on 12 Mile, and we had our own newspaper, which was the Southfield Eccentric.
Eminem is a friend of mine. So.
Oh, well, yeah. Then maybe we can deliver papers to him together.
I think he gets them delivered by somebody else. But go ahead. So it's right up in that area?
No, yeah. So it's right there. I did a Detroit Free Press route for a little while, but then I got fired from my Southfield Eccentric route. So
why?
Because I wasn't actually delivering the papers. I think this part of the job requirement is to actually put the papers where they belong.
Yeah, I remember I had a paper route when I was in right out of grade school, and it was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and it was the Argus Leader, and it was 7 cents. So the Argus Leader paper, 7 cents, and I was on this corner. But then I got so lazy, I said, I just tossed them.
That's what I did, see?
Like 20 papers, I just tossed them.
We had this wall like behind my house, and I would just take like the bundles, and like, I was 11, I'm stupid. I was like dumping like these bundles of newspapers over the wall.
But then the thing is, I never get paid, so I don't know what that did for me.
Yeah, well, I just got caught. I was like, it's weird when you're 11 and you get caught by like a grown-ass man, just like.
You can't get paid selling a paper by not actually having a paper.
That's true.
Okay. So that was your first job or worst job?
Worst job. I liked delivering papers, actually. I mean, when I actually delivered them. But worst job was probably, I wore a costume in the dead of winter to like point people to an apartment complex.
Right.
And this is in like Lansing, Michigan. So if you know how Michigan is shaped, this is like the valley of, like, it's the tundra.
Do you have one of those signs that you have?
I had a sign and I was like, oh, it won't be bad. Nobody will know it's me.
Sure.
And they drive.
Hey, you were my paper boy.
Exactly. Hey, where's my paper? They drove me, dropped me off on some corner, and like even through the costume, I just hated it. And I lasted all of 2 hours. I walked back to where.
It just seems demeaning. I mean, I always thought that when I was doing sports, being a mascot was the greatest job ever because you could make a fool out of yourself and nobody would ever know who you were.
It takes a certain personality. It's like,
I remember one time I was doing an event for Coke and the Coca-Cola bear, that great big guy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm standing there and he walks up and I hear the bear inside and he goes, Pat, I'm about to faint. Grab me, please, grab me. So how did the Innovation Crush come about?
Innovation Crush came about, took some time off of work, not the paper route, but this
is
years later, but, and just kind of was talking to a lot of companies about innovation and what it could mean for them and how to put it into practice and so on and so forth. And a little too soon for some.
Yeah.
And so I decided to create a property that would showcase the types of thinkers and things that interest me and that should be interesting to smart marketers.
Content is king.
Content is king. And, you know, and I figured I wanted to create something that was a blend between Fast Company and The Daily Show, right? Like, where do smart marketers go for inspiration and great content?
It's a good combination.
But also make it entertaining and palatable so it's not like, you
Daily
know.
Show with which host?
The Daily Show is a brand, you know, but I'm a huge, a huge fan of comedy, period. But, so I've known of Jon Stewart for years and years and years.
Right.
So, started it before Trevor Noah took over. Who's doing a good job too.
Trevor's good.
Yeah.
But we miss Jon.
Yes, that's very true.
I'm not sure Trevor's the right guy for.
He was surprisingly better. Yeah. Oh my God. I was like, why didn't John stay? And I'm sure there was a bunch of stuff that happened.
Was it hard to get this thing started?
Yes and no. It was, you know, I always feel like people do one of two things. You oversimplify or you overcomplicate. Yeah. Right? So I was like, yeah, okay, I think I can do this. I knew I just had to maintain a weekly cadence. I mean, my background, like this is stuff I'm genuinely interested in and mm-hmm. people that I'm genuinely interested in. And I'm a nosy guy. I ask a lot of questions by nature. I've worked in entertainment, I've produced music videos, helped launch television networks. And so I've been around a camera or two or an entertainment property or two, in my career. And, you know, I think the hardest part was the first day, just kind of, I did a bunch of interviews back to back just so I can get my cadence down as a host. I had some segments that I thought about
introducing. Either you have the cadence or you don't.
Yeah, well, that's true. But, you know, you never know. When you enter into a new frontier, you know, you go, all right, okay, I'm comfortable
okay,
now.
Okay, I got it.
Sea legs.
I'm going to forget it as fast as I can.
So back to starting the show, I think the first step. It's like the first step is usually the hardest one. I think everything else starts to fall into place. And if anything, it was the challenge of keeping it going where, you know, 3 years later, you know, a couple hundred guests, numerous partnerships. It was just that continual, you know, if you're creating content, like right. that's the heartbeat. Everything else, like, you know, you can sacrifice to an extent. But I wanted to make sure I continued booking great guests and had interesting conversations.
Right. What kind of guests do you have on the show?
They range. You know, I think when I look at the sort of the innovation ecosystem, you know, I hope that people can learn from people who are outside of their industries. I think that's one of the best ways to learn is to hear it from somebody who knows nothing about what you do, but they face the same challenges or, you know, have created.
It's all the same, really.
Right, exactly.
If you can put it in context. Well,
and that's really what it was. I felt like the creative rhythm to an innovator, you know, is similar to if you're a school teacher or you're the CEO of GE, right? You're mm-hmm. always trying to find a new way to reach the next plateau, deliver a message, create a product, et cetera, et cetera. So it's ranged.
But it's being the first one to do that.
It is.
It's sometimes important.
Being the first or the one that at perfected. Least, I feel like the most inventive, you know, you find like there's probably 24 other car services outside of Uber. And most of them, you will never hear the light of day. There's one in China right now that's really blowing up.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And so, you know, I feel like innovations can come big and small, right? Mm-hmm. You can innovate on a business model, and that's what they've mastered with that particular car service. But then Uber has mastered all these other, like they've mastered the art of delivery. Right, they'll deliver people, things, experiences,
food, everything.
Exactly. Yeah. So you know, just that sort of diaspora of where can you get the best creative thinking from? You know, I mentioned Damon John, Cindy Gallup, who's the former chairperson of BBDO, to this 9-year-old kid named Dylan Siegel, who raised $1.2 million in, I think, just over a year.
A little punk.
Exactly. It's like, I hate you. You know, his dad was there. But, you know, he's written a book, sponsored by Hershey's, like he's got all these things, and he's 9 years old, and still a regular kid, plays baseball,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
At least he's regular. So,
exactly, to an extent. And so, you know, it's just really run this gambit of things that people may be concerned about in a period of time, but never really too heavily focused on, like, we don't go heavy in VR. This is the VR episode, mm-hmm. but we may talk about what virtual reality
is. How long is the show?
Anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour.
How many more are 30? How many of them are 30?
Is that going to get you to listen? I don't know.
Probably. No, I was joking, but you get, you know, not everybody's worth an hour, you know that.
Yes. Well, maybe that's where a good host comes in, right? Like you're able to stretch out a conversation.
I'm a good host. Not everybody's worth an hour, believe me. But you're right. You go, you know, 30 minutes is great.
30 minutes is good.
But with a great guest, an hour is great.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the difference. Right. I won't say like the 30-minute guests weren't good. Sometimes it's just a matter of the amount of time that we have with that particular individual.
Exactly.
But it's really just sometimes we get in a really great rhythm and you're like, we can keep going and we have to stop. Other times it's really just kind of guiding people along to